Well, hello and welcome back to the Grace Members Podcast. Scott Mazingo here, and we have something really special in store for you over the next 2 weeks. I am turning the hosting over to our producer, Whitney Maness, as she helps facilitate some very special conversations highlighting the work of Front Porch Housing. As we eclipse the two-year mark, we want you to hear from care coordinators, residents, and volunteers about their experience, and Whitney has a front row seat as a missional resident. So enjoy this long-form conversation, and please share with others to help us spread the word about Front Porch Housing.
Welcome back to the Grace Church Members Podcast. I'm your host, Whitney Maness, and today we're celebrating 2 years of Front Porch Housing by sharing stories and experiences from the past few years. I'm here today with two of our care coordinators on staff at Front Porch Housing. Why don't you both tell us a little bit of who you are and just a little bit about yourselves?
Well, hello, I'm Eileen Barnes, and I'm fairly new to the Front Porch staff. I started right before Christmas, but I am originally from Greenville, grew up here, went to Clemson, but then lived in Atlanta, met my husband there. We got married, raised both of our girls in Atlanta, so was there for a long time, like 35 years, and moved back to Greenville about 7 years ago. And when we moved back to Greenville, joined Grace Church.
Yeah.
So I had been certainly very interested in the housing from the beginning.
Yeah. So, and what is your role at Front Porch and how'd you get into that?
So I'm a female, one of the female care coordinators at Front Porch. And I really just was very interested in Front Porch Housing from the beginning. Being a member at Grace and just hearing what was going on, I just thought it was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
That Grace was willing to really invest that amount of money into this. So I had volunteered and really wanted to be involved. And yeah, just one day I had a conversation with Leanne and really felt like this is where God wanted me to be.
Yeah. And you have a little bit of a personal connection with this ministry as well, right?
I do. So I am a recovering alcoholic. I have been sober for 33 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Great. So I got saved and sober at the age of 32 many years ago. But when I moved back to Greenville, joined Grace, got very involved in Regen. And so have certainly had a heart for people just wanting to not only work through addiction and recovery, but also just want a closer walk with Jesus. Mm. So yeah, I think God decided that was enough. He considered me qualified.
That's right. Yeah. That's incredible. That's awesome. What about you over here?
My name is Marcus Allen. I am one of the male care coordinators at Front Porch. I have been there, it'll be 2 years next month. So right at the beginning, they snuck me in. And I'm originally from Spartanburg, the youngest of five. So pretty big family, great family. And then God has blessed me with a beautiful wife and a precious little almost three-year-old.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, she's great. Both of them, actually, really. Don't know.
Yeah.
And then, so my background, I'm coming from, I was a realtor for a few years, and I was also a teacher for 5 years as well. And then God has just given me a heart and a passion for people. And that has just kind of led me to Front Porch.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Marcus and Eileen, thank you again for joining us. And I feel like I should say too, I am a missional resident at Front Porch as well. So as I'm talking about us, I really do mean us. And being a missional resident, I live at Front Porch and really just get to be another degree of support in cultivating community and relationships and really just trying to make it a good little neighborhood to live in, whatever that looks like, whether it's just doing laundry next to my neighbors or sitting outside and making sure the kids are doing okay and all that good stuff. So I've been doing that for 2 years and have really enjoyed it.
And we're very glad
Absolutely. Yes,
to have you there.
No, I'm really grateful. I mean, it's right there on the Swamp Rabbit Trail. I mean, it's a good location. Like, don't get me wrong. It's good living. Well, if this is your first time hearing about Front Porch, it is a 3-year supportive housing program designed to help individuals and families in need build a firm foundation with the goals of continued sobriety, gainful employment, financial independence, and spiritual maturity. And there's a lot more that goes into what Front Porch is doing, so we do encourage you to go listen to our previous episode number 14 with Leanne Cavan and Brian Burgess if you want to hear more about the background of this ministry. But for this episode, we really just want to highlight a little bit more of the work that our incredible staff is doing. So, Marcus and Eileen, tell us a little bit more of what your role of being a care coordinator looks like. What are you guys responsible for? And just what does your day-to-day look like?
I think Eileen summed it up very well a little while ago. We are walking alongside our residents in life as they go through this program, as they navigate what full independence looks like, hopefully within the 2 to 3 year period. And so a lot of it is we are caring, care coordinator, caring, but we're putting it into action. I can think about a lot of the conversations that I have with my guys are they usually just end up being me listening for them to have someone where they can trust, they can share their feelings. We can build that relationship organically is a blessing to be in this role, to be a part of their life. I tell people all the time, I don't have all the answers for my guys. Yep. And I tell them that, I'm very, very transparent about that. But if I can be a listening ear, if I can be an accountability partner, if I can, help you navigate through the different struggles of our program and even outside of our program, then that is what I'm here for.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes, and I do think I tell my ladies, I want you to know that you are seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that you matter.
Absolutely.
And that you do belong.
Absolutely.
And we are first and foremost a community, and we want you to be a big part of that community.
Yeah.
But it's not just about, okay, I'm here to check off all the things that you need to do as part of this program. Now, that is important, and we do have a care plan. We sit down, as Marcus knows, with each person individually and come up with a care plan that is specific to that person.
Yeah.
And part of it is there is accountability to help you and encourage you along the way to do the things that we have set in place for you to do. And we do want you to have short-term goals and long-term goals and help you achieve those goals. But the most important thing is, for me, is relationship. Yeah. And I want you to know that I care.
Yeah.
I am here for you. You have a whole community of people that are here for you.
Yeah.
And we want you to succeed. And we will do whatever we can to help you.
Yeah, the last thing we want a resident to feel is that as though they're just a number in our program.
Right, yeah.
And what's really unique about the role is, yes, Eileen is the female care coordinator, and I'm a male care coordinator, but part of our job is we sit in on the intake interviews. So if we have a resident that's applying, whether they're a male or female, we usually will have both genders sit in on the interview to show that it is a team.
Yeah.
Effort. And even with our residents that we have there currently, I can think about the number of times where I've been able to help some of the female residents carry groceries and furniture up to their apartment and, building trust that way as far as the community.
Yeah. So as we're talking about this idea of supportive housing, maybe you're like, I don't know what that really means. This is what it means. Like everything that you guys are talking about, that we are here to support our residents. And I mean, it really does just start with this role of a care coordinator. And I mean, we could sit here all day and read job descriptions, I'm sure, and still not cover the kind of stuff that you guys are doing. But you're really just showing up to work every day and looking for opportunities to engage our residents and to love them well. And it's just an unbelievably meaningful and powerful picture of, I mean, really just the way that Jesus has pursued us. And it's rare that you have a job that does that so tangibly. So then tell us a little bit, just as you guys are working with our residents, what does success look like for them?
I would definitely say that sometimes the growth is really slow, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's just very small steps, but to be able to celebrate even the smallest of steps and just even the smallest of growth and to really encourage them and to say, I am proud of you. I also think success is most of our people are dealing with real consequences. It could have been from poor choices that they made. Oftentimes, it's poor choices that someone else made. But there are very real consequences that they are having to deal with now, and it can be overwhelming. So even when something happens that really feels like this is so big, I am not going to be able to get through this, and yet they do. And they're able to walk through it without totally falling apart. And then they are so proud of themselves. They're like, I did this. And to get to the point that not everything is urgent. Lots of them come in, and that is, they don't know any different. That's how they have lived. They have lived in the fight or flight urgency, and they don't even know how to even just relax and breathe and go, it's okay.
And when you talk about that sense of urgency and that fight or flight, what do you mean by that? Like, what has created that kind of sense in them over time that they're now having to break down a little bit?
Well, for some of, a lot of my ladies, physical abuse or sexual abuse has been part of their background. So they have not felt safe. And they have always felt like, I have to be on guard because something is going to happen. So I can remember a young mom of a two-year-old, and the father of the child had been abusive to the child. So that that is what drove her out and needing a place to be. And she had been there not even a week, and she just sat in our office with tears just streaming down her face, going, I feel safe. And I feel like I am in a clean, warm, safe environment with my son. And I just cannot express to you what that means to me.
Because most of us probably go home and we're like, of course, home is safe. That's how it's always been. And that's just not the case for everybody. And so a lot of the work is that you can have a home, a real home that feels safe. And that's partially because of the space and the environment that you're in, but it's also the people that are around you. Like, are the people that you're interacting with, are your neighbors safe? So that's just not, it's not something that most of us are thinking about. What would you add for your guys, Marcus? What are they thinking about?
Oh, I really want to echo a lot of the same sentiments that Eileen spoke on. Throughout our entire intake process, we're very upfront about what the guidelines and expectations are about our program. And so once we have someone get into our program, I think success looks like helping them understand that our program is hard, that they are going to have to be intentional. It's not a program that you can just kind of skate by in, because there is a lot of expectations. And then on the flip side of that, helping them understand that they're not alone. This is not something that they have to walk through by themselves. This is not something that they, you know, they don't have any help in, especially for my guys. We inherently have this persona of wanting to do stuff on our own, you know, it, and it's almost celebrated in today's society. But, you know, having a resident come and say, hey, I need help with this, or, hey, I'm struggling with this. that is success.
Yeah.
And that's something, and I struggle with that a lot, you know, and that's part of my personal growth and spiritual growth journey as well, is knowing when to say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with, and knowing who and having those individuals to reach out to. And then I would also say, I've got a few guys who are doing very well in the program, but they're not just celebrating that success by not being engaged. They're actually wanting to volunteer. They're wanting to go to the social events. They're picking up trash after the social events. They're setting the example for other men in our program and for the women and our children in our program of leadership.
Yeah.
Yes. That's cool.
Yeah. Because anyone who is just kind of in this world of nonprofit ministry, a big question is like sustainability. You know, like, okay, do we just keep putting money into this forever? And maybe we do. Like, there's value in that. But at the end of the day, like, how is this thing going to keep running itself for the long term and be a good investment? And I think a big part of it is exactly what you're talking about. And it's not even about money, but we are discipling people. We're helping people develop that independence, that healthiness and wholeness that they can then take and go and serve and go be a part of a community. Even like you were saying, Eileen, of you want your ladies to be members of this community, that they would go in and invest in others, in each other's kids,
exactly,
in their neighbors,
yes,
in volunteers. As much as we love our volunteers, but I mean, the more you talk to them, a lot of times they're like, yeah, I thought I was going to come in and do all this stuff for somebody else. And then at the end of the day, the residents are actually the ones who are pouring into me and teaching me something.
Absolutely.
And that's really what we are inviting everybody to come be a part of, is it's like come be a part of a community where it's less about like what particular role you're serving in or living in, but just that we're all here for each other and we're developing relationship. And that's what's really powerful in the long term. So we've already talked about this a little bit, but just thinking again on that path to success, what are some of the common challenges that you just see your residents facing?
I definitely think, as I mentioned before, that they're just our consequences. Mm-hmm. That sometimes is legal consequences. Sometimes it's financial consequences.
A lot of times, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a real challenge to have to navigate through some of the consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of our residents have already gone through some sort of recovery program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, you know, they've tried to go to a route where they reach out to a church and they felt unheard and unseen. Mm-hmm. And so I know a lot of our residents, they have church wounds, you know, that continue to hold them back spiritually, that continue to make them leery.
Mm, yeah.
As Eileen and I build relationships with residents, what that looks like is us putting words into action. And so we build trust with them.
Yes.
Because, you know, we do have a lot of people who are coming from backgrounds where they just don't trust anyone because of what they've gone through and you know, rightfully so.
Right. Yeah. What about physical challenges? Again, we talked earlier about safety and just those things that we just all usually take for granted. Like, what are just some of the physical needs that they're trying to navigate?
A lot of the residents also are coming from years of neglect of their physical health, their mental health.
Right.
So lots of times our residents are coming in and they haven't been to the doctor in a long time.
Right.
And they need some physical medical care, lots of times, especially if there has been drug addiction, their teeth.
Yeah, dental work is a huge one.
I have one resident that she is about to get all of her, and she's 32 years old, and she's about to get every tooth pulled.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is we have dentists that are working with our residents and doing all of the dental work for free. I mean, she is going to pay just a portion of the lab fee for dentures.
Wow.
So we are talking thousands upon thousands. And she called me just in tears and just said, I am so in awe of God and of this community.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, when we first got started, I think it was Leanne who got up and was like, I'm serious. If y'all have any skills, any gifting, if you have a job, like whatever you do, I'm not kidding, just tell me and we'll figure out something for you to do. And that's the beauty of this is there's so many different facets of life, right? We talk about transportation a lot. That's why we do a car show. Like there's just a lot of needs there, legal stuff, mental health stuff, emotional, interrelational stuff, money, finances, all of these pieces. And even, I mean, I'm in my 20s and I'm like still learning a lot of this for myself, but I usually phone my mom and I'm like, hey, how do I do insurance? Help me please. And I mean, for a lot of our residents, they just don't have that kind of support structure that has shown them how to do all of those things. Right. And yes. So it really is, it's such a big deal. Like it just feels small. Because again, it's the stuff that we know that we've just maybe seen in most of our lives. But if everyone is able to bring a little bit of like the knowledge that they have and the training that they have and their background, and you bring all that to bear, like those are just all the little pieces that come together and help someone be physically healthy and financially healthy and mentally healthy. All those pieces come together. What about you guys? Just what are some of the challenges that you have faced in your role as you've sought to care for your residents?
So one of the requirements for our role is that we are required to go to counseling.
Yeah.
Because our role is heavy.
Yeah.
It is emotionally heavy. It is taxing. And I think one of the biggest challenges for me is learning how and when to lay that weight down.
Yeah.
Honestly, it crept into my home life. I remember having a conversation with my wife and, you know, she basically told me her and my daughter, they don't want leftover Marcus. Mm. And I mean, you talk about hitting me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Like, yikes. because I, you know, it had gotten to the point where I was taking it home and the majority of the conversation at home was about, you know, things that are going on with my residents. And you know, I had taken it upon myself in inadvertently, pridefully to carry all of that.
Right.
And so, yeah, it has been just a journey for me to reach out for help once again, and then to know to have those healthy avenues and to seek counseling when I need to lay that stuff down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm a lot older than both of you.
We couldn't tell.
That's right, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. But I am learning how to steward my physical, my emotional, and my mental energy well. In a God-honoring way. Because I don't want to not have anything left over when I go home to my husband.
Yeah.
And so that has been a challenge for me. Yes, I am in counseling, and that is helping a lot.
Yeah, it has been very helpful.
It has been very helpful about that, yes, we are called to carry each other's burdens, but also everyone is called to carry their own load. And so empowering our people to carry their own load. I'm right here with you, and I am walking right beside you, but you can do this. I believe in you. I believe that you can. And then they can,
and they
do. And also just realizing that my confidence cannot be in myself.
Right. Absolutely.
It has to be in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And we have to depend every minute, of every day.
Yeah, I think we would just be remiss if we talked about your jobs and we're like, and it's sunshine and rainbows all the time. And it's just like awesome and we're on fire for God and everything's good. Like this is hard work. And it's good work. I mean, like, we're all clear on that. But I mean, there's sacrifice. But the sacrifice doesn't mean that we lose Marcus and we lose Eileen, you know?
Right.
Because just as with any ministry that any of us are doing, we want it to be sustainable. We want it to last for however long God is calling us to do it. And so we can't do that if we are not healthy. And there's this terrible irony of you're trying to help your residents become whole and healthy, but that can't be at the detriment of like your own wholeness and health and spiritual formation, all those good things. Mm. And so part of your job, I would think too, is modeling for your residents. And there's not a formula. It's not this perfect balance of work and home life, but like that is part of stewardship that God is calling us to do. And so again, we just are thankful for you guys and that you would think through all of that well.
Well, and I will say, Front Porch has put together, well, God has put together an incredible team of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And every person on the team is very aware of what we all struggle with. Mm-hmm. And we do very much support one another.
Yeah.
And I have never felt like I could not go ask for help or ask a question, because I don't know a lot, but I'm always like, I don't know the answer, but I will find out an answer. And we can go to anyone on the team. Mm-hmm. I feel very supported.
Good.
And very supported by Grace Church.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Also.
Yeah. That is good to hear. Yeah. Like that's what we want.
That they are putting the resources mm-hmm. in place for us to be successful in doing our job well.
Good. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I mean, with the challenges also comes beauty and celebration. Again, we're 2 years in. That's just something to glorify the Lord for by itself. You know, when we started, I mean, I think we were all like, we'll see how it goes. Like,
what does this look like?
Yeah, you know, it's. Yeah. I think I said a million times, like as I was moving in, and everybody's like, "How is it?" And I'm like, "It's, you know, we're building the plane in the air. Like, it's already taken off, and like, there's not a roof on it, but it's flying. Yeah. So that's what really matters. And so it is just, it's such an honor to just see how far it's come, and just to look ahead and to see all that. But what are just some stories of the wins that you've gotten to see with your residents?
Well, I have got, this is my favorite story. So I actually, it was on a Saturday morning, and this has been, I don't know, probably a couple of months ago, but a group of residents and myself went to Harvest Hope Food Bank to volunteer. Mm-hmm. So our people from Front Porch are going to volunteer at the Harvest Hope Food Bank, which was so cool in and of itself. But as we're driving there, one of the residents who is sitting in the front seat with me, and she said, you know, this used to be my old stomping grounds, as we're driving down White Horse Road. And she said, my husband and I would walk along these streets. Mm-hmm. And she said, and we would go to Harvest Hope for food. Mm-hmm. And she said, and I hate to admit this, but there were times we even sold the food that we got for drug money.
Yeah.
So we go, we are out on the floor, and we're doing hard work. I mean, we are lifting big old bags and packing pallets. And she looked at me and said, can we just stop and pray over this food? And I was like, absolutely. And so she prayed, and was just, God, I know that you know who is going to receive this food. Mm. I just ask your grace and your favor to go with this food for the person that will be receiving this food. And she, when she finished, and she looked at me just with tears and said, I would like to think that somebody prayed over the food that we got. But she said, this is such a full circle moment.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that just like what we see God in his character doing. Mm. He is reversing fortunes. He is taking the low and he is bringing them high. He is bringing honor to the humble and he is bringing wealth and success to the poor. And it's so tangible. It doesn't get any richer than that. It's the evidence of his character. That's the work that he's doing. What you got?
I've got two real quick, really short ones, if I may. The first one comes, we were getting ready to do an in-person interview, and it was for a female applicant who was trying to get into our program. And I was in the front office area. And so when the applicant came in for her interview, she said her name at the front desk. And then if they're early, we usually will have them sit down in the coffee shop area and wait before going back into the interview. And so I knew who she was. I knew why she was there. And I had gone over her application. And so I was getting ready to head back to where the interview was. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm going back there. Why don't I just, you know, say who I am and walk her back to the interview? Because I think everybody was ready at that point. And so I said her name and I walked up slowly, said her name, and you would have thought I held a gun to her head. And I thought the reaction was very weird. She visibly started shaking and just kind of looked at me slowly. And so I told her who I was and how I knew her name and was able to walk her back to where the interview was. And so about midway through the interview, we had to stop because she was still shaking. She was still very distraught visibly. And she stopped and said, I have to be honest. I'm still very torn up about hearing a male say my name. Yeah. And she had come from a very abusive relationship and background. And so, in that interview, I understood as much as I can where she was coming from. And I didn't say another word throughout the duration of the interview. You fast forward to, I think she's coming up on about 8 or 9 months in our program. She goes out of her way to say, hey, to me.
Yeah.
You know, she asks me how I'm doing and how my family's doing. We joke and have banter, and just the beauty in that of being able to be a positive male role,
yeah,
on campus, even for the female residents, it's just been incredible to be a part of. And then shortly, I have a male resident who moved in. He was coming in with a lot of trauma. He had lost someone very dear to him, and that person had played a big role in their recovery journey. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of reservations coming into a program. He didn't know me from Adam. He believed in Front Porch and what we were doing there. But as time continued and we had our care plan interview and we had our one-on-one meetings, that wall began to crack. Mm-hmm. And the trust started to build. And to now hear him say, I look forward to driving home to Front Porch when I get off work. Yeah. Because I know I'm safe and I know it's home.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the other day we had our care plan meeting and he's doing well in our program, participating, everything. So I got the opportunity to say, hey, I'm proud of you. And to see those huge tears swell up in his eyes.
Yeah.
Just for our listeners, if you haven't had a chance to be on campus, this is what God is doing on a daily basis.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, y'all make it really hard to get through this podcast. Yeah. Come on now. That's just what we're trying to hold out with open hands. In the grand scheme of things, like 2 years is not a really long amount of time.
It's not,
but it's like if we take these moments and then multiply that by 4 years, by 6 years, by 10 years, however long God has us doing this work. I mean, life change happens over time for all of us, and it is slow, but it is so good, and it is so powerful. And to what both of you have said, and what we will continue to say, is like, this is who God is.
Yes.
Through the work of his people. Again, it's not anything special. We don't have the secret sauce, you know, that
right,
we're holding
right
out. But it is just showing up, and it's being with people, and it's connecting with them. And we've got the Holy Spirit in us, and God's like, let me show you what I'm capable of doing in your lives and then in other people's lives.
Yeah.
And so if you're struggling in your faith, if it feels a little stale, like, come hang out.
Absolutely.
It will not stay that for very long. It's
He is allowing us on a daily basis to be his hands and feet in a very real and tangible way. Mm-hmm. And that is...
It's very humbling.
It is humbling.
Very humbling.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, we've said it is hard it is messy, but it is so beautiful and it is so clear that God is just on the move.
Yeah.
And that life change is happening and it is real.
Yeah.
And just seeing the community being formed is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So for you guys, what excites you about the future? What are you looking forward to?
I would say to see the continued growth for Front Porch Housing, as well as the continued response from the community. When you alluded earlier, when you first moved in, I think I started when the property was first bought as well. And so a lot of it did look like putting a plane together in the air.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that is that you got to see faith in action.
Yes.
That's right. You got to see the response from Grace Church, from other churches in the community, from other businesses in the community. Put faith in action.
Yeah.
We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know if it's going to succeed or not. But we feel led and called to be a part of what's going on here.
Yeah.
And my hope is that that would continue. Mm-hmm. That would continue as an individual for me and as well as my family, as a church, and as a community.
Yeah, I'll comment on that. What's so great is, it's kind of started with Grace Church, but we're trying to grow our child to go and live on its own,
right,
separate from us. And I mean, I'll walk out of my apartment on a Saturday morning and I see high school kids from a school. I see people from other churches. I see people from other nonprofits. And like, I love our church. This is our church podcast, but there is something different about connecting and building relationships with people in this Greenville community. I mean, this is an open invitation. The front porch is open. Like, we just want everybody to come and be a part of this. And like, let's connect with just different kinds of people and like do this work together. That's what
you really do need to come and see.
Absolutely.
I mean, we can talk about it all we want to, and we've got so, I mean, this is just a few stories. We've got so many we could tell, but you really just need to come and see and experience it for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Eileen, what's exciting for you coming up?
The same. I mean, I just, to see growth in people, to really see that they do feel like they belong and that they are part of a community, and they want to be there and they are grateful to be there and they want to help each other.
Yeah.
That is so cool to me, is watching. And I will say, we have a young family that's there, and their World Relief has a lot of apartments on campus that have refugees from all over the world.
Yeah.
And this young mom has connected with some teenage girls, and they are going, she is getting a copy of the Quran in English so that she can read it, so that they can, and they want to read the New Testament.
Right.
So I'm like, she's one of our people.
Yeah.
And she is out there sharing Jesus with these Muslim teenagers.
Yeah.
And it is, that is exciting. And it's beautiful. And it's, God is bringing the nations to
us.
That's
right. I know.
And that our residents are actually being missional also. That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It is all God's children out here in the truest sense. And I tell you, it's what heaven's going to be like.
It is.
So got to start getting comfortable.
It is.
That is really exciting. Well, as we're wrapping up here, how can we be praying for you guys, for our Front Porch staff, and then just for our residents?
I would just say for continued spiritual growth, as we have spoken about our role being pretty demanding, we need to be poured into, whether that's through daily devotion, through church on Sunday. I know I started Regen a few months back, and it was funny because I kind of felt like a hypocrite telling my guys that, hey, you got to go to Regen. But I'd never gone through it. And so just having the opportunity to go through Regen, to build relationship with the guys that are in our small group, and having that accountability for myself, and being able to talk to my residents about that and kind of live out what I'm saying and what I'm telling my residents to do, that I would continue to just lean on God in that.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it is easy to get prideful in our role when things are bad and we want it for our residents, and you know, we're wondering why they're not doing what they need to be doing. And then on the flip side of that, when things are going good and it's like, oh man, I had a part in that. As Eileen said earlier, God he's using us.
Right.
You know, and it is a privilege. And so just being able to keep that perspective even when it gets hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and just for continued prayer that I can be smart and be wise in how I steward my energies, as I've said. And that, yes, absolutely, that my confidence would not be in myself, that I would continue to lean on the Holy Spirit. And also just that I will be humble enough to, when I need help or I am at a low place, to be able to say, I need help. I'm at a low place.
Absolutely.
Because we like to think that we got it. And so just that we will continue and just, yes, that we will just let ourselves be used.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, I just want to thank you again for being here, but also just for the work that you do. I could spend another 30 minutes, but it is a privilege. And I mean, I'm just really blessed that I get to watch, like I get the front row seat. It's out my window, you know, to see what's going on and to be a part of it. And I really am just jealous for more people to come and see it too. But I would love to just go ahead and pray for y'all now to close this out.
Thank you.
God, we are just really thankful when we just think about 2 years and the ways that you have showed up for us, and you have already answered just thousands and thousands and thousands of prayers, and the prayers that we didn't know to ask, that you just showed up and filled in those gaps for us. And just the ways you've protected us, you've provided for us, you have just been really good, and that you have even chosen us to be in this space and to be a part of this, like, is such a huge gift. This is work, but it's work that we get to do. And it's a privilege. God, I do just thank you for Marcus and Eileen and all of our care coordinators, all of our Front Porch staff, for the sacrifices that they're making, for the ways that they're giving their life away, and that they have chosen to be obedient, but even in that this is a demanding job that asks a lot of them. And so we just pray that you would continue to grow them spiritually and to pour into them, that they would be fed so that they have something to give to their residents as they continue to build relationships, that you would provide accountability for them just to be aware of how they're feeling and how they're doing, that you would give them wisdom to know how to steward their energy and their bodies and their time well, along with all of the other responsibilities that they're carrying in life with their families, and that you would give them humility to be able to ask for help. And Lord, just for all of us, that you would help us to recognize that we are in need, and that we need our community and our people around us to help us, but that we need you and that we have to be dependent on you. We can't get ahead of ourselves. We can't get prideful, but that our only confidence and our only strength is whatever you give us each day. And so we just pray that we would wake up and go into the work that you have for us, but that you would be our source of life, and that everything that we have to offer would be that we would boast in your strength and we would boast in our weakness, because we really don't have anything to offer except for what you give us. And Lord, we thank you for 2 years of Front Porch Housing, and just pray for the next 2 years and beyond, that you would continue this work, that you would just bring in more people to be a part of what you're doing, that this place would be somewhere where your people gather to honor and glorify you by being the hands and feet of Christ, that we would obey your command to go and pursue the nations, and that it's all just laid out for us in this one spot, and that we would be excited to engage with you, engage with each other, and be a part of what you're doing. So, God, we love you. We thank you so much for this time. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
To keep up with the latest news from Front Porch Housing, be sure to follow along on Instagram and Facebook. If you know someone who is invested in kingdom and community work, we'd love for you to share this podcast with them and keep the conversation going. We'll see you in the next episode as we hear some stories from Front Porch residents.